Our reading this morning comes from the little prophetic book of Haggai, beginning chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired to all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And to this place, and in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Amen.
I want to say thank you. Thank you that we're each sitting here this morning. You know what other things are going on in our lives that we've left behind, that we've set aside time for to be here. And so, Lord, we just ask for your blessing on us as we gather together. Bless our time together. Bless our giving of this time to you. Help it to be a time, Lord, where we support and encourage and care for each other, where we learn together and where we worship you together. We pray that you'll speak to each one of us through these words of Haggai, and that you'll give us ears to hear and hearts that are open to what it is that you have to say. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this last week for me has been a particularly hard week. And I know that I'm not alone. I know that there are others here who would also say that for them, this has been a hard week. But for me, it's been so hard that there's been things that I'm involved in that I've been tempted to walk away from. I've felt tired and I've felt discouraged. Things haven't been going the way that I'd hoped they were. Expectations haven't been realised. And so I've just wanted to stop. I've wanted to just be able to just walk away from some of those things. But I haven't, because God just has kept on reminding me all week of the big picture. He's been reminding me again and again that I'm called to faithfulness, not to success. That I can leave the outcomes of things up to God. I just have to be faithful to the things that he has called me to do. And so as I've been reading through this chapter of Haggai, the book of Haggai, I've been reminded that it was exactly the same for the people in Haggai's day. What I'm experiencing today is something that they experienced thousands of years ago, and I'm sure all God's people in between. The people in Haggai's day were called to faithfulness, to not be focused on the outcomes, but to trust those to God, to keep on working on the things that he'd called them to do. If you were here last week, you would remember that what God had specifically asked them to do was to rebuild his temple. This was the exiles that had come back from the land of Babylon. They'd come back with one of their main purposes being to rebuild the temple. But we also saw last week that they'd started that work 16 years before, but then they'd been distracted. They'd started to focus their time and their attention on building their own houses, on making their own lives comfortable, and that came at the expense of God's house and the rebuilding of the temple, and work had stopped. And so in the book of Haggai, God gives his people four messages. Last week's message was rebuild the temple. This week, through his prophet Haggai, he challenges again their lack of obedience and their misplaced priorities. We saw last week that when he did that, he first spoke to the leaders, but then to all of the people, and they responded with this incredible new attitude, a quick turnaround. And 23 days after they heard that message, they started to work again on rebuilding the temple. Where our story comes in today, it's a month later. They've been working on this temple for a month. It's starting to take shape. But from the message that God gives Haggai, it seems like not everybody was happy. Some of the people were being tempted to stop. And so God sends them another message through Haggai. He sends it to the community leaders and the people, encouraging them not to be discouraged. To Haggai, God says, "Say to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua the high priest, and the whole remnant of my people in the land, does anyone remember this house? This temple in its former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all." It's not actually a very encouraging word from God, I don't think. But I guess it's understandable. Because some of these workers were obviously old enough to remember the beauty and the majesty of that original temple. It was the temple that was built by King Solomon hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but it's described in the first book of Kings as the inside of the temple was panelled with cypress and cedar and decorated with elaborate carvings. The temple's interior was overlaid with solid gold, with gold chains that protected the entrance to the most holy place, statues on either side of cherubim that stood 15 feet tall that were overlaid with gold. This was a magnificent building. How could this small remnant of God's people ever hope to build something so incredible? They could never afford the skilled craftsmen that Solomon had been able to bring in from outside of Israel. They would never be able to create these elaborate carvings and the decorations, and they certainly wouldn't have been able to cover the inside with gold. You know, in Ezra's book, he describes the older priests, the Levites and the other leaders, as weeping out loud when the foundations of this temple were laid 16 years ago. They weep because they could see that this new building that they were working on was never going to compare to the original. It was smaller for starters. And so they grieved over what was lost, and they wondered how it could ever be so good again, so worthy of their God. You know, sometimes we hear people in this church or in other churches who've been in that church for a long time talking about the good old days, talking about how good things used to be. You'll hear people talk about when the church was full, when the building was brand new, when our Sunday school was so big that we had to have buses bringing kids in from the different neighbourhoods. We hear these stories, but as good as they are, sometimes it leaves you feeling pretty discouraged. Sometimes it leaves you thinking, well, what am I working so hard for? What am I doing wrong? Why isn't it as good as what it supposedly was all those years ago? Why am I working so hard on something that just doesn't seem to be as good as it once was or as people think it will be? it's really easy to give in to discouragement, to lose sight of the big picture, the purpose behind what it is that you're working on, who it is that you're doing it for. And sometimes you need a reminder. This week, I needed a reminder. Clearly, the people that Haggai was working with needed a reminder. And so that's what God gives them in this message. His encouragement to them comes by him reminding them that God is with them. He doesn't start off by telling them about the project or how beautiful the building's going to be. His reminder starts with, I'm with you. From verse 4, he says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all you people still left in the land, and now get to work, for I am with you. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be strong and keep on working. Why? Because God is with you. You're not being asked to do this on your own. God's spirit is with you, and he'll look after the outcome. He was with the people that came before you. He's with you now, so don't be afraid. Stay faithful and keep on working and let God look after the outcomes. Did you notice who God directs his words to? He starts off by directing it to the leaders, the community leaders, to Zerubbabel and Joshua. And he does that, I think, because they are the ones who lead the way. They lead the people in the way they need to go. And leaders, firstly, need to be strong. Leaders need to be willing to trust God and overcome their fears if they're going to be able to lead people well. Leaders need to be able to not give in to discouragement. I know that in recent months, that's something that the leadership here has had to work through, because there's been some difficult decisions that we've had to make, decisions that have stretched us, that have left us having to ask, are we strong enough? Are we committed enough? Are we confident in God enough to lead our church into this new season? And I praise God every day that our leaders are. But God's message isn't just for the leaders. He says it's to all the people, all God's people. He says, be strong, all you people still left in the land. See, this is about the whole community. It's about God's people all working together on God's plans, because they'll only be realised if they all work together, if everybody plays a part. One person alone cannot rebuild this temple. And it's the same for us here. One person can't make God's plans for our church become reality. One person can be enthusiastic, one person can be very skillful, but they can't alone make God's plans happen. It needs all of us to be trusting and working together and each doing our part. We're seeing that happen right now with over 90% of our church choosing to engage and commit financially to what our church is doing. But we need more than that. We need to stay faithful. We need to stay committed. We need to trust God and keep on working on what he's called us into, trusting in his promise of his presence and his provision. And if you look through the Bible, you will see from the beginning to the end, there is great encouragement for that. You'll see that the early Israelites, well, they were able to keep going even when they were incredibly discouraged in the wilderness, because they knew that God was present with them. They had a cloud by day and a fire by night. Clearly, God was present. Clearly, God was providing when they had manna, bread falling from the sky, and thousands of quail, which is quite sad, but for them to eat, clothes that didn't wear out. Clearly, God provided for them. We see it with this remnant, with Haggai, with the promises of God given again and again and again through prophets, now coming true. They've seen God's provision in King Cyrus agreeing to let them go back to their land. Unheard of before that. If you look into the New Testament, you'll see that Jesus' disciples, they knew God's presence and provision. They heard Jesus say to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." They could see God with them. And they knew his provision in the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with them. How about you and I? How do we know that God is present with us, that he will provide for us? I think, like them, we have the proof of history before us, the evidence of God's presence and provision with his people. We have God's words, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." We have personal experience of God's presence being with us. We have the knowledge in our head, but we have the feeling that we carry with us, the comfort and the direction that we experience again and again and again from God's Spirit being with us, providing for our needs, often in the most miraculous, amazing, unexpected ways. God's faithfulness and God's presence, that should be enough. That should be enough for us to stay strong and keep on working, enough for us to be confident that what we're doing is important and worthwhile. But the reality is that often it's not. Often we want something more. And I would say that it wasn't enough for these temple workers either, because they wanted something more. And so in the next part of the message, God gives them a glimpse into the future, and he allows them to see that the best is yet to come. The temple is going to play a significant role in what God is going to do in the future. From verse 6, he says, "In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I'll shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. Future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken." Who's speaking? It's God, the Lord of heaven's armies, or in the version Colin read out to us, the Lord God Almighty, the one who's sovereign over all people, over all places and all things, the one with control and authority over not just his own people, but over all people, all the nations. And God says in the future he is going to again shake the earth and the nations. And Haggai's audience, they would have understood that this was God talking about judgment, because God had spoken to his people about this before. That in order for God to bring about his plans for peace and for harmony and justice, there would be a time of judgment. Because judgment is part of God's picture, God's big picture. And when is this going to happen? Well, God says in a little while, which I find to be a bit annoying. It would be much better if God gave a date. This is when it's going to happen. And I'm sure that the people would have preferred a date. I'm sure the people would have preferred that God said, "This is when it's going to happen," because then they could have been prepared. When I thought about that, I thought, "in a little while" is a phrase I used to use all the time with our kids. When's Grandma going to get here? Oh, she'll be here in a little while. When are we going to the beach? Oh, we'll go in a little while. Just get ready. It was a throwaway phrase. See, with my kids, I knew that if I gave them a set time, then they'd just relax. They'd sit back and they'd watch TV or they'd go and play and they'd leave getting ready until the last minute. And then invariably, they wouldn't be ready and we'd be late. So I would always say, in a little while, so that they wouldn't know exactly when, so that they would be getting ready. When you read in a little while in the New Testament, it's usually referring to the final judgment. It's usually referring to the return of Jesus. I'm reminded that when the disciples asked Jesus when things were going to happen, Jesus said to them, in a little while. He said, it isn't for you to know the time, just be ready. Well, I think that's God's message here. He doesn't give them a date. He wants to say, don't be worried about when this is going to happen. Just know that it will happen. This is going to happen, and so you need to be ready for when it does. And part of you being ready is getting back to work, is keeping on doing this work that I've called you to do, finishing this work on the temple, so that it's ready for when these things are going to happen. Because the time was coming, God was saying, when he was going to be worshipped by all the nations, not just Israel. When all the nations other than Israel were going to gather together to bring honour and worship to God. God's people had a role to play in God's purposes being achieved. You know, years before this, through his prophet Isaiah, God had told his people. He had said that merchants from around the world are going to come to you. They're going to bring the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you. The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshipping the Lord. The flocks of Kedar will be given to you and bought for my altars, and I will accept their offerings and make my temple glorious. This isn't just about the people in Israel. They didn't need to worry about the beauty of the temple. God had that covered. They didn't need to worry about the outcome because God would look after that. He was going to provide everything that was needed to make his temple beautiful. He was going to bring in treasures from other nations. They didn't need to worry about that. God had it covered. All they needed to do was to stay faithful and keep on working. I would imagine that Haggai and the people took these words literally and that they imagined that again one day the temple that they were building was going to be an elaborate ornate building. And for a time it was under King Herod, but it didn't last because that temple was again destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans and it's never been rebuilt. If you go to Jerusalem today, you'll see the ruins of the temple, but they sit alongside the gold dome of a very large Muslim mosque. There is no beautiful, ornate Jewish temple. There's just ruins. So what was God talking about? I got stuck on this, and I read lots of different commentaries and discovered that basically people don't know. There's lots of different opinion, and depending on which scholar that you read or commentator, they all have something different to say. But in light of the New Testament, I think that this is referring to the future temple, the one that Peter and Paul wrote about in their letters to the churches. In his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul wrote, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." Peter wrote, "You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but chosen by God for great honour. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. God's people, the church built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we are God's temple today. We are the fulfillment of God's promise, ultimately. It's through us today that God brings his presence and his blessing and his prosperity and life to people today, just like he did through his original temple all those years ago, which is an amazing thought and an incredible privilege and responsibility. You know, Haggai's second message to the people, it's an encouragement to stay faithful and to keep on working, because they were part of something much bigger than they could ever imagine. They needed to let go of what they saw, let go of their limited vision, see beyond the past, but also beyond what was just right in front of them. They needed to refuse to give in to the discouragement that they were feeling. They needed to see God's bigger picture. Bigger picture that they had a part to play in. The exciting things that he was calling and inviting them to be part of. His kingdom that was going to be filled with the redeemed treasure of people from every tribe and nation and tongue gathered together in worship. They just needed to stay strong, stay faithful, and keep on working, entrusting the outcomes to God. I think it's the same for us. I think we all, in our personal lives, we all face times when we feel discouraged, when we feel like we want to give in. We want to stop the work that we're doing. We want to walk away from what God's called us into. There'll be times when what we're doing is going to be hard, and it will seem like we just can't go on, like I feel like it's been this past week, and maybe you have too. I suspect that for us as a church in coming months and years, we are going to feel discouraged. That maybe we're going to want to stop what we're doing, that we're going to want to try and turn what we're doing into something that's easier or something that might make more sense. Maybe we'll be tempted, like this Jewish remnant, to try to create something like what we had here in the good old days. Tempted to create something that's more comfortable, more familiar, that's easier, instead of persevering with something that's difficult, that's untested, that has so many unknowns, this new thing that God is asking us to step into. And whether that's in our personal life or in our life as God's church family here, we are each going to need to remember God's words to Haggai. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. The Spirit of God is with you. So stay strong and keep on working, trusting that what you are doing for God, you are not doing in vain. Because God will use our efforts. God will use our efforts, no matter how small they are, to bring about his kingdom plans for peace and harmony and justice and new life. We just need to keep on trusting him, staying strong and faithful. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes it is hard to persevere. Sometimes it's hard to not walk away, to not turn to something that just seems much more easier. And yet again and again and again through your words in the Bible, we see your people being called to perseverance, being called to stay faithful, being called to keep on working on what you've called them into and to trust the outcomes to you, to trust that you know what you're doing, that nothing you ask of us will be wasted, because you will have your way and you will see your plans and purposes achieved. And so, Lord, we ask that when we do feel discouraged, that when we do find things hard, we ask that you will have pity on us and that you will give us the reminder that we need, that you will give us the resources that we need, that you'll bring people into our lives who can remind us of your presence and your provision, that can get alongside us and uphold us and help us to stay strong. Help us to keep on working and to trust you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.